ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय Today we will discuss the text 12 from chapter 2. Chapter 2 is entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. We'll first chant together the Sanskrit. Please repeat. Nadvevaham chato nasham.
Nadvevaham chato nastam.
Nadvevaham chato nasham. Na tvam neme janadipaha.
Na tvedam namadi janipada.
Na tseva na bhavishyama.
Na tseva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayamata param. Nadvevaham chato nasham.
Nadvevaham chato tvasvam.
Nadvam neme janadipa.
Nadve namane janadipa.
Nadseva na bhavishyama.
Nadseva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Nad Tvevaham chata nasam.
Natve eravam chatu vasvam.
Natvam neme chanadipa.
Natve name na chaditaha.
Natcheva na bhavishyama.
Natcheva na bhavishyama.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
So, can I recite? No? Repeat. Nam.
Nam.
Never.
Never.
To.
To.
But.
But.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Chatu.
Chatu.
At any time.
At any time.
Na.
Na.
Did not.
Did not.
Asam.
Asam.
Exist.
Exist.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Tvam.
Tvam.
You.
You.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Ime,
Ime,
all these,
all these.
Jana Adipa,
Jana Adipa.
Kings,
Kings.
Na,
Na,
Never,
Never.
Cha,
Cha,
also,
also.
Eva,
Eva.
Certainly,
Certainly.
Na,
Na,
Not,
Not.
Bhavishyama,
Bhavishyama.
Shall exist,
Shall exist.
Sarve Vayam,
Sarve Vayam.
Of all of us,
Of all of us.
Ataparam.
Ataparam.
Hereafter.
Hereafter.
Translation. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Please repeat. Never was there a time.
Never was there a time.
When I did not exist.
When I did not exist.
Nor you.
Nor you.
Nor all these kings.
Nor all these kings.
Nor in the future.
Nor in the future.
Shall any of us cease to be.
Shall any of us cease to be.
Commentary by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada. In the Vedas, in the Katha Upanishad, as well in the Svesvatara Upanishad, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the maintainer of innumerable living entities, in terms of their different situations according to individual work and reaction of work. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is also, by His plenary portions, alive in the heart of every living entity. Only saintly persons who can see within and without the same Supreme Lord can actually attain to perfect and eternal peace. Nityo nityananam chenana chetananam ekabhavanam yo vivadati kamam. tamātmastam yenu paśanti diras, tisam shanti sasvati netra resham. Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. The same Vedic truth given to Arjuna is given to all persons in the world who pose themselves as very learned, but factually have but a poor fund of knowledge. The Lord says clearly that he himself, Arjuna, and all the kings who are assembled on the battlefield are eternally individual beings, and that the Lord is eternally the maintainer of the individual living entities, both in their conditioned and in their liberated situations. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Individual Person, and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal associate, and all the kings assembled there are individual eternal persons. It is not that they did not exist as individuals in the past, and it is not that they will not remain eternal persons. Their individuality existed in the past, their individuality will continue in the future without interruption. Therefore, there is no cause for lamentation for anyone. The Mayavadi theory that after liberation the individual souls separated by the covering of Maya or illusion will merge into the impersonal Brahman and lose its individual existence is not supported herein by Lord Krishna, the Supreme Authority. Nor is it theory that we only think of individuality in the conditioned state supported herein. Krishna clearly says herein that in the future also the individuality of the Lord and others, and as it is confirmed in the Upanishads, will continue eternally. This statement of Krishna's is authoritative because Krishna cannot be subject to illusion. If individuality were not a fact, then Krishna would not have stressed this so much even for the future. The Mayavadi may argue that the individuality spoken of by Krishna is not spiritual but material. Even accepting the argument that individuality is material, then how can one distinguish Krishna's individuality? Krishna affirms his individuality in the past and confirms his individuality in the future also. He has confirmed his individuality in many ways, and impersonal Brahman has been declared to be subordinate to him. Krishna has maintained spiritual individuality all along. If he is accepted as an ordinary conditioned soul in individual consciousness, then this Bhagavad Gita has no value as authoritative scripture. A common man with all the four defects of human frailty is unable to teach that which is worth hearing. The Gita is above such literature. No mundane book compares with the Bhagavad Gita. When one accepts Krishna as an ordinary man, the Gita loses all importance. The Mayavadi argues that the plurality mentioned in this verse is conventional and that it refers to the body, but in the previous verse, such bodily conception is already condemned. After condemning the bodily conception of the living entity, how was it possible for Krishna to place a conventional proposition on the body again? Therefore, individuality is maintained on spiritual grounds, and is thus confirmed by great acharyas like Sri Ramanuja and others. It is clearly mentioned in many places in the Gita that this spiritual individuality is understood by those who are devotees of the Lord. Those who are envious of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no bona fide access to this great literature. The non-devotee's approach to the teachings of the Gita is something like that of a bee licking on a bottle of honey. One cannot have a taste of honey unless one opens the bottle. Similarly, the mysticism of Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotees, and no one else can taste it, as it is stated in the fourth chapter of the book. Nor can the Gita be touched by persons who envy the very existence of the Lord. Therefore, the Mayavadi explanation of the Gita is a most misleading representation of the whole truth. Lord Chaitanya was forbidden has forbidden us to read commentations made by the Mayavadis and warns that one who takes to such an understanding of the Mayavadi philosophy loses all power to understand the real mystery of the Gita. If individuality refers to the empirical universe, then there is no need of teaching by the Lord. The plurality of the individual soul and the Lord is an eternal fact, and it is confirmed by the Vedas, as above mentioned. Amakyanatim vandasya tyanjanasnakya shaksurun militam yena tasmai si gurvenama chichitanya manobhistam saptam yena bhutale svam rupakadame amdadati svapadantikam vandiyam siru siyuda padakamanam sikam vashnavam sasirupam chagachatam sakana raganatam ptam tam sajivam sadvaitam sabdutam parichana saitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Saganalita, Shri Vishakam, Vitamsa, E Krishna Karuna Sinu Dina Bandha Chirat Pratika, Upeisha Kopka Kanta, Radha Kanta Namastate, Tapta Kanta Nagaran, Shri Radha, Vrinda Vanashwe, Vrishabhanu, Pranamayi, Namo, Maya, Prisime, Panka kalpta bhyasa kripasin vivsa padnam fan bhyo fashna bhyo namo namo chai shi krishna chaitanya pramanu chanda chi advaita kadar shvasti kora bhakta vana hare krishna 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 hare rama hare rama 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 hare hare namo vishnu te krishna prasthaya bhuta shimati bhakti chavishant krishna krishna prasthaya bhuta shimati bhakti vidant svamti namo Namaste, Sarasvata Deva, Gauravani Pachari, Nirvise Sinyavali Paskachari, Desatari. So I will first now read the comments of Bhujan Prabhu and Purnachandra Maharaj on this verse. There was never a time when I did not exist. I am Krishna now, I was Krishna before, and I will be Krishna in the future. You were Arjuna before. You are Arjuna now, and you will be Arjuna in the future, and all of these kings also. They have their individualities, they exist before, and they are here now, and they will exist in the future, even Bhishma. There is no reason to lament, we are eternal. So he is stressing the eternality of the soul, and also the individuality, because he is saying, I, aham, tvam, you, and Janadipya, all the kings. He does not say that before the kings and you were part of me, we were all one and now we are separated, and in the future you will merge and all back into me again. No, he says that in the future they will not cease to exist. They will continue to exist as individuals, kings, you and me, all of us. So Prabhupada mentioned that the Mayavadi theory, that after liberation the individual souls separated and covered by Maya will merge into the impersonal Brahman and lose their individual existence. It is not supported here by Lord Krishna, the Supreme Authority, nor is the theory that we only think of individuality in the conditioned state supported herein. Individuality continues. Krishna clearly says herein that in the future the individuality of the Lord and us, as it is confirmed in the Upanishads, will continue eternally. And he quotes, Nityo Nityananam Sesasenananam Ea Bhaunam Yovidadad Kamam Tamatmastam Ye Nupashanti Dias Tesa Samtin Sasvati Netarisham Kata Upanishads 2-13. So the difference between the body and the soul has already been stressed. Now again, eternality and individuality is again stressed. Krishna is saying, my dear friend Arjuna, when one grieves over the death of a dear one, what is the object of his love? The body or the soul? And Prabhupada has used this example many times, and it is a potent one. Because if you have ever experienced the death of a dear one, then you know that the body is there, but still you cannot feel that the person is there, because something is missing. And even a most simple person can understand that example, especially when they had this experience. I remember when I was a young boy, my mother passed away. I was about 16 and in the West they have a wake. They place the body in a coffin and they put some makeup and dress the air. It is like a last darshan, and you come before the body and you offer some prayers. When I came to the coffin, I looked and said, "That is my mother." The body was completely different, as they almost made her look as she wasn't her, not even her body. Not only did I feel that she had gone, I also felt that this is definitely not her also. In other words, complete detachment. So what is the dear thing to the person? It is not the body. Because if it was the body, then you would feel satisfied. You wouldn't be crying when the dear one leaves, because it is the soul which is so dear. Therefore we lament. In the Bhagavatam it is mentioned, Sarvisham api bhutanam nripasheva valabham. One's own soul is the most dear thing, and then the soul of another person. That is the dear thing. So Krishna is stressing this because Arjuna is focused on the body of his relatives and his guru, not on the Atma. So this whole section is focusing Arjuna's attention on the Atma. Arjuna will gradually, by focusing his mind on the Atma, rise above his grief. And because this verse very clearly defeats Mayavadi philosophy, Srila Prabhupada spent a lot of time speaking about it in his commentary. And all Vaishnava Acharyas do is defeating the Mayavadi doctrine. In the last part of the commentary says that the Mayavadi argue that the plurality mentioned in this verse is conventional and refers to the body, but how could that be? Because Krishna has already condemned the bodily conception in the previous verse, in the previous two verses, beginning from 11. So now, how could he place again a conventional understanding on the individuality, which is being discussed in this verse, or a conventional proposition on the body, saying that the individuality is only referring to the body? That is what the Mayavadis say. So that doesn't make sense if you look at the context of the statements. So, and Krishna goes further to drive on the point even more in the next verse. Though that was the commentary of Purnachandra Maharaj. And then we have Bhujan Prabhu's commentary. Here is the point. Krishna is speaking in the present tense to Arjuna. In the present, we exist, the kings exist, and Krishna exists. They all exist in the present, and in the past there was never a time when Arjuna, the kings, and Krishna did not exist. So in the past we all existed as individuals, in the present we exist as individuals, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. This verse, right in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, in itself defeats Mayavadi philosophy, because Krishna is saying that we are individuals, stressing the individuality of the soul. Krishna is the supreme. Everyone who reads Bhagavad Gita must accept Krishna as the supreme. As Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, or else, what would be the purpose of reading the Bhagavad Gita unless it is beyond the modes of material nature, beyond ignorance? What would be the purpose of reading Bhagavad Gita? If the Mayavadi philosophy would be true, then Krishna would be immersed. He would have ceased to exist as an individual Krishna. So just by this verse, Krishna is stressing the individuality of the jiva. And also, Sri Bhagavana Vacha, the verse before begins, the Supreme Lord is speaking about the individuality of himself and the individuality of the jivatma, the conditioned souls. In the purport of this verse, there are very strong arguments against Mayavadi philosophy. One who understands these arguments will be able to preach against Mayavadi philosophy very strongly. So all the time I was always Krishna, you are always Arjuna, and all these kings are also individuals. You in the present are individuals, and in the future you will also be individuals. Krishna is not saying, Arjuna, if you hear Bhagavad Gita from me and learn the science of the Absolute Truth, you were Arjuna in the past, now you are Arjuna, and later on you, when you become pure, you will become Krishna. No, he's not saying that all. This Mayavada philosophy is directly against what Krishna is saying. Now, what is the basic illusion that Krishna has? Krishna is clearing that up by stressing the soul, not the body. Because Arjuna is on the battlefield, he's worrying about the death of Bhishma, he's worrying about the death of Drona and all the kings, but they are eternal. That is the point that Krishna is stressing. So Arjuna may answer that, okay, the soul is eternal, but far as myself, are concerned, I'm not relating to Bhishma as an eternal soul, nor am I relating to Drona as an eternal soul. My relation to them is with their bodies. He is my grandfather, he is my teacher in this body. Although they are eternal souls, if I kill them, they are going to change their bodies, and that will be a horrible thing, because my relationship is with their bodies. So then Krishna says, you think that if you don't fight in the battlefield, you will be able to stop change their bodies? This is illusion. So this is the first important teaching of Lord Krishna to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. He has first chastised his disciple. He said, you are lamenting for what is not worth of grief, because a person who is in knowledge, a sage, he does not, when he is learned, he does not lament neither for the living nor for the death, because the living or dying is for the body. The soul is always eternal in its existence. So that is the first lesson in spirituality. We are eternal. We have existed in the past, will never cease to exist in the future. And people are living like that. They are living like they are going to live eternal, because they are eternal, they are a spirit soul. So it's like, yeah, that's like a natural thing, that this feeling of being eternal, that we have got lives before, we will get future lives. If you have that vision, and you know we have got previous lives, then you get a vision of eternally, eternity. So dying is just changing bodies. In next verse, Krishna will say, you have just to tolerate that. But of course, like Bhujan Babu explains here, he says, Arjuna's relationship was with their bodies, and that's the problem. That's the bodily consciousness. We become attached. That today is a special day. It's the last day of September. It was the birthday of Bhakta Pol, which I knew in the beginning in Ghent, and who left his body before the date is in Radhadesh in the 25th of January 97 he left. This relationship with these bodies, that like that if you change a complete environment, like you join the Hare Krishna movement, and you disappear in the movement, then you lose practically all your contacts with everyone, especially when you go abroad. It's just finished. That literally, no one who I knew 30 years ago, most of them are dead, are gone. That it's just the whole world is so temporary. It's all gone. But if you see that we now also we are together here, it's very temporary. We will soon separate. We are just here by Krishna's mercy to speak on the Bhagavad Gita, which is a great opportunity. An opportunity that gives us this, the possibility to realize who we really are, spirit soul. Because it's a whole different concept of seeing that if you realize you are a spirit soul, then not this body, and you start to live with that understanding of reality, then nothing can hurt you in this world. Nothing can hurt you. Because you know that the displeasure and this suffering, it's for the body. Factually, the body is a machine to give you suffering. One may say, oh, that's pessimistic. No, it's reality to give you suffering. Because what we take as pleasure is just absence of pain, relief. And that, but it's, but the illusory energy is so strong that we cannot understand ourselves, and that's problematic. Krishna consciousness means becoming in touch with oneself, with one real self. That if one is not in touch with one's real self, as Krishna further will explain, one creates in one's mind a constructed ego, which is false. That and everyone lives in this world in that constructed ego. That and that construct, and if and so, such a constructed ego is going against the nature of the real ego. And because the soul is in a foreign environment, it's incompatible. It's incompatible. Because the soul, because we are eternal, but the body is temporary, it's incompatible. That who wants to die? No one. But dying in itself is an illusion. Because we just, the soul does not die, it goes to its next destination. That, but it's all because we are connected with this body, which is made of material nature. And what can the body perceive through the eyes? It's not the body that perceives, it's the soul that perceives through the medium. And getting contact with this material nature and this material world and so on. But that's not a thing to desire, to be in contact with this material nature and in this world. That we belong to a spiritual nature, to the spiritual world. That, but of course, we are eternal, Krishna says, and he is eternal. Krishna is the big eternal. Sita-sita-nanas, nitya-nitya-nanam. Is the eternal amongst all eternal, and is the big spirit soul amongst many souls. That. But that's, this shows that the Bhagavad Gita immediately gives a message of great hope, because that's good news. We are not this body. That's really good news. That. And we have just to realize it, and we become happy even within this body, Krishna says in the fifth chapter. You can be happy when you can, because by realizing yourself you can control the situation. Power and control on is that power and control comes from knowing one's real identity, just that knowledge. You can direct your mind and intelligence to act as a spirit soul and not as the body. And that's what the Gita teaches, acting in a detached way, because we have nothing to do with the material world. That acting in a detached way is Krishna consciousness. That's because acting in a detached way means in its essence acting for the pleasure of Krishna and not for this body. That this is very important. And there are examples in the Bhagavatam that of Bharat Maharaj, who became Bharat Maharaj was following the Vedic system, and at a certain moment he put his son in place as the king, and he renounced, he went to the forest to perform yoga, austerities in yoga, and to fix himself on Krishna within the heart. That was just the system. That Bharat, we have the Mahabharat, so we have, it's related to Bharat Maharaj, later Bharat Maharaj was emperor of the whole world. That therefore the whole world was called Bharat Varsha. Now they call India Bharat Varsha. Interesting. But while performing this yoga exercise, he became attached to a deer. That's the stories in the Bhagavatam. He was doing his meditation, and there was nearby a river, and a big storm came up. And in the storm, a deer appeared in the river, standing in the river practically. And at that moment, a big lightning came up, and the deer was so frightened by it that she gave at the same spot gave birth to a baby deer, but she immediately left, and the baby deer was left helpless there. So, and Bharat Maharaj felt compassion and started to take care of the deer, and the deer became attached to him, and he became attached to the deer, and that was his fall down. He started to neglect his spiritual practice. That, but he was quite advanced. He came to an advanced level. But still he came down. And when he was going to leave his body, he was in anxiety because he could not find the deer. And his consciousness was absorbed in the deer. and in its next birth became a deer. But because of his advanced spiritual practice, he could remember his past life. And that's a special gift. That it's not that everyone remembers his past life, but it was of his advanced spiritual practice Krishna gave him that remembrance. And he was in the body of a deer, but he just waited. He left his mother and went again to the same place where he was doing these austerities before, and he just waited until he got his next birth. His next birth, he became Jad Bharat. Interesting in that birth is, because in that birth also he got to remember his previous two lives, as a deer and as Bharat Maharaj. And he was in a family, but when from birth practically he was self-realized. He was thinking, I don't want to become entangled in this family life. That I just want to perform devotional service and meditate on the Supreme Lord in my heart. So he was always meditating. And his father wanted, because he was born in a Brahmin family, his father wanted to teach him. And he was teaching him the principles of cleanliness, washing the hands before eating or before passing stool and so on. And Vajad Bharat did everything in reverse order. And his father came so frustrated that he just gave him up. He's useless. They called him Jad Bharat, a mad person. That Jad Bharat. Then his father passed away. And his brothers gave him, because he was considered completely useless, he gave him the service to look after a field where the crops were growing. And he was just guarding that field that no deer or no animals would come and take it. And that was his service. And he was sitting there the whole day in meditation. That meditation on that. But then at the same time, King Raghana was the king of the state of Sauvira in India. That state Sauvira, that was like when you have Delhi, just beneath Delhi, you have an horizontal line over India, and all what's above, up to the Himalayas, was the state of Sauvira. That was a big state. That was a great king. And he was passing by the place where Jad Bharat was meditating. He was carried in a palanquin with three carriers. They were carrying him. But one of they were sudras, and they were just carrying the. But one of the three became sick and needed to be replaced. And the other three were searching in the environment. Who could replace him and carry the king in a palanquin. And they found Jad Bharat, because Jad Bharat, he looked very healthy and strong by spiritual practice. Although he was quite dirty, he had a black Brahmin dread. Anyway, and they engaged him, and so Jad Bharat was thinking, yeah, this is a reaction of my past misdeeds. I accept it humbly. And he was trying to carry the palanquin, but he saw ants on the ground. And he did not want to trample on them, because I was thinking, if I trample on them, I make again a karma. So he was avoiding them while. And so the palanquin went up and down. And King Raghana, he became, maybe he became seasick. But he was, at a certain moment, he was looking at the palanquin carriers, and he stood there immediately said, "Oh, it's not us, it's the new one." Because they were afraid to be punished by the king. And so, the king asked him, "Please carry it straight." But Jad Bharat continued to avoid the ants. And then the king became very grave and became angry. He said, "You don't know who I am. I'm the king of the state of Sovira. I will punish you very severely." In that purpose of that verse, Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam writes that Chad Bharat felt the pain of being harshly addressed by the king entering his consciousness. But by spiritual power, he just pushed out that feeling out of his mind. And he became filled with compassion and started to give the king's spiritual instructions. And when the king heard him speaking, giving these instructions, because Jad Bharat said, "You think you are a king, but you are not your king, and that you are an illusion." But when he heard him speaking and giving these instructions, he understood that's a saintly person. And he asked for forgiveness. That's very interesting. But Jad Bharat had his three births that he remembered. So in that way, we should understand that nobody can help us in this world of our relatives and family to become self-realized. That it's just a whole business. Family means business of exploitation. That's give and take the business. But that's not going to help us. We need self-realization. And nobody can help us. We are flying our own airplane as individuals. And it's up to us to become self-realized or not. But to come to that point, to come out of illusion, you need the support of someone who is out of illusion, who can bring you out of this situation. And that's a spiritual master. The spiritual master is not just one person, it are also the sadhus who are self-realized, are also spiritual masters. Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru. That's another thing, but that we have to take advantage of them to become self-realized, like Jad Bharat had just realized it. And then you become very dear to the Supreme Lord if you come to that level of realization, even still in the body. Like Jad Bharat, he was captured by dacoits, and they were all worshippers of Durga. And they were going to offer Jad Bharat as an offering, kill him as an offering to Durga Devi. But Jad Bharat was not disturbed by it. Whatever happens, it's Krishna's mercy. So they were going to offer him, but there was a pure devotee. Who is Durga? Durga is a servant of Krishna. Durga Devi is the prison guard of the material world. Keeps everyone in the material world. That's her function. But she's a devotee of Krishna. And she knew Jad Bharat was a pure devotee. So she could not tolerate it. And Duryodhana has all these weapons. And she came out of the deity with all her weapons and she killed all the dacoits. That was very, very interesting. So if we come to that position of self-realization, then we are very dear to Krishna. But because self-realization means to become a devotee of Krishna, because that's what everyone is, a devotee of Krishna, but they have forgotten. That's all. So that's very important. This understanding of eternality is very important. Because Krishna is in that position, we are in that position. Of course, Krishna is free from the illusory energy, because he is the source of the illusory energy. The frame that does not exist. But we are under illusion that we are the body. And that's what the illusory energy does upon us. It's very cruel, the material energy. Very cruel. And Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that the only way to come out of it is surrender to me, Krishna says. Then you come out of it. But if you don't surrender to Krishna, you remain under the prison house and under this illusion, I am the body. But Krishna is out of the prison house, we are in the prison house. Therefore Krishna can instruct us. If Krishna would be on the same level as us, Krishna is Brahman, we are also Brahman, then this is useless Bhagavad Gita. Because there is no instructor and instructor, it's all the same. That it does not make sense that Krishna is instructing Arjuna because he's in the superior position. And that should be very clear. Also, Srila Prabhupada makes that point that this verse is misused, abused by Mayavadis. They say it's conventional, that it relates to the body. But how can it be conventional? Krishna is just condemned it in the previous verse, the body conception of life. So that's very important. So this is, it is the ABC of spiritual life. It's the A from the ABC, the first instruction. But it's the most difficult principle to realize for us, because we are under this illusory energy. Very difficult to come out. And you have to hear for a long time Bhagavad Gita and the scriptures and work on realizing it by the practice of devotional service, that we come out of it. So that's very important to come, because we are conditioned and the mind is attracted to sense objects constantly. There are allurements in this world, especially our society is not cooperating with that. See publicity everywhere, even on the internet. You want to see the news and some other picture comes, pop up, and there, Maya is there. We have beaver proposals. Constantly it's going on. So to counteract that, we must maintain sadhana bhakti. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. A sadhana means a practice of devotional service, a regulated practice. Therefore, we should always make sure that we are out of the clutches of Maya by this 5D sadhana bhakti. We chant always, always when we can, chant. That it's not just I'm chanting japa for 16 rounds and then I finish. No, you continue chanting. That's important. Always thinking of Krishna. Always become absorbed in relating everything to Krishna. Therefore we have a sadhana. The devotees have no problem of being busy. In the morning you chant, then you do your deity worship, and then you cook for Krishna, and then you take prasadam in a spirit of devotion, and then you start serving Krishna. You do your job for Krishna, whatever you have to do. Of course, best is to engage directly in Krishna's mission one way or another, and make sure you are busy in Krishna's service always. And then you take time to hear Bhagavad Gita, to repeat verses, to read the Bhagavatam in a regular way. Always busy with practical devotional service in that way. That's Vaida Sadhana Bhakti. Then you are kept out of illusion. You are not working for this body. Always busy with Krishna's business. That's the basic principle of Bhagavad Gita. Anyway. Any question? Comments?
I've heard that with this, especially with this verse, that what the Mayavadis are proposing, this verse defeats their idea. But I've heard that best not to go into philosophy with these Mayavadis. Just talk about Krishna if you have to. Just talk about Krishna. Because their philosophy is quite strong also.
Lord Chaitanya said that if you see a Mayavadi, if they like in that way, you jump in the Ganga with your clothes and everything to purify yourself, just seeing him. We should not study this Maya philosophy, but we should learn to defeat it. To come very strong and defeat it. That we should be very convinced that this Mayavadi philosophy is nonsense. Srila Prabhupada repeats it in the whole Gita and gives you all arguments how to defeat it. If you know the Gita, you can defeat Mayavadism very easily. Because their philosophy may look strong, but their basis is strong, and that's the basis. Chalpat says here it's wrong. We are eternal living beings. You cannot merge into Brahman. That merging into Brahman is an illusion. Krishna says further in the Gita, you cannot cut the soul into pieces. Not possible. How can it merge? No, it means it's just a mental concoction. It's like a parrot entering a green foliage of a tree. And the green parrot enters the green tree and you don't see it anymore, but it's still there. And it retains its individuality. It cannot. Because it's based on the concept that Brahman is superior. Brahman is the highest. But Krishna says Brahmanoi Pratisthanam in the Bhagavad Gita. That Brahman is depending on me, Krishna says. It's very clear. In, 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 in 7:5 he says, Mata Parataram Nanyat Kinchidasti Danja. There is no truth superior than me. Everything it rests on me as pearls on a thread. Everything is connected. Nothing is superior to me. How can Brahman be superior? It's all a concoction of this impersonalist. By word jegle, in the Sanskrit, they try to change the meaning. But then it distorts the quintessence of the Gita. It has no meaning anymore. So that's, we have to learn this philosophy and be very convinced about it.
Do the Mayavadis, this is another, do they have an evolutionary period where they will, their misunderstanding will go to personality, or is that full stop? Like in our line, it went off, you know, then Madhvacharya Prabhu, he put personality back into the line and everything. Do they have such a, or is that full stop? They believe Brahman is superior and that's it.
Yeah, they think Brahman is superior than that. But there are so many forms of Mayavadism. It's not that you have one thing. Shankaracharya is that introduced that teaching. But we can say he has introduced that, but it was existing long before. Because it's in the Bhagavatam. 5,000 years ago, it was all, they were also impersonalist. But you have different kinds. You have Mayavadis, you have Brahmavadis. The Mayavadis says the difference is their attitude towards Krishna. The Mayavadis says Krishna's body is made of material energy. So they don't recognize his transcendental position. Although Krishna says in the fourth chapter, my body never deteriorates. I appear by my own internal potency, my Atma Maya. It says to Arjuna, your body changes, but my body does not change. I appear in the self same body. And Krishna condemns Avajananti Mahamudaman Tanam Manam Ashvitam. It says, they are mudas, super asses, those who think that my body is made of material energy, who think, who deride my transcendental position, and who think that I am, that I am an ordinary human being. In next verse it says, 9:12, Mohsa Mohi Karmana Mohi Jnana Vishetasa. Such offenders, Krishna says, whatever they want to achieve is baffled. So they cannot attain liberation. They may think they are liberated. They do not attain real knowledge. It's not possible, Krishna says, that because they think that my body is made of material energy. So Mayavadis thinks Krishna is just material energy. They want to kill Krishna. Get out. Get it away. That's the Mayavadi. But the Brahmavadi is also an impersonalist. But he thinks Krishna's body is transcendental. He accepts that. But he thinks, the Brahmavadi has a misconception. He thinks that Brahman is higher than Krishna. And Krishna is a manifestation of Brahman. That's the Brahmavadi. But it's not offensive toward Krishna because he recognizes Krishna's position.
They are Prashanti. The Mayavadis are Prashanti, they are offenders.
They are offenders, yeah. Of Krishna, that they want to, because they have a big material desire. They want to see Brahman as God. They want to merge with Brahman and become God, become the supreme controller. That's quite a material desire. But it's not possible, because the soul is eternal. Krishna says in this verse, you cannot become God. Krishna says, I'm individual and you remain individual eternally.
And Buddhism is slightly different concept.
Buddhism, there are 10,000 traditions of Buddhism, and they have all their different philosophies. So which kind of Buddhism you mean? There are those who believe in demigods, there are those who believe in Nirvana, so many different kinds.
Because the Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, the zero one, what's their concept? We understand the Mayavadi
These are the Buddhists who think that the soul does not exist. Yeah, it's just a combination of material elements, and at the end it's finished, zero. You become zero. And also the Mayavadis, they want to make everything zero. Because they're everything one. Everything becomes one, so your individuality becomes zero, disappears, emerges. Individuality, they think, is a construction of the material energy. But once you come out of it, then you become Brahman again, and no individuality. It's suicide, spiritual suicide, Mayavadism. Anyway, serious matter. Something else?
It's just that people generally, when you talk to them, they say, I escaped death, or I escaped this, I must have done something good in my previous life. So they understand they're coming from a previous activity to this activity.
Yeah.
But when you talk to them, okay, that's a good idea, what you're talking now, can we talk about, this eternal aspect of what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Then there is no comment then.
No, they cannot. The thing is, they cannot explain things. We can explain a material manifestation. We say it's an energy of God from Krishna, so we can explain it. Krishna explains his material and spiritual energy. So it's his energy. That's what. But they cannot explain it, because Brahman. Everything comes from Brahman. Everything is Brahman. They say the material world is meteor jagat. It's illusion, the material world. But how can something illusory come from Brahman? It's not possible. So they say it's inexplicable. So that's their comment. Inexplicable. It's just the world does not exist. It's just something in the mind. But we say the world exists because it is Krishna's energy. Krishna is real, and his world is real. That's the difference.
The temporary, but Krishna.
Yeah. Okay.